So today's speaker is His Grace Ram Vidhari Prabhu. Prabhuji will enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I'm present.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all goods to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable association. So now I would like to hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Now you can start the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 20, text number 105 onwards. Text number 105.
Krishna Shakti Dara Tumi Jana Tattva Bhava Jani Dardya Lagi Puche Sadhura Swabhava.
Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness.
Text number 106. Achira deva sarvarta siddhyati esham adipsita saddharmasya vabodoyam esham nirbandini mati.
Translation. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. Purport. This verse, quoted from Naradiya Purana, is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.103.
Text number 107. Yogya patra hao tumi bhakti pravartatite krame sabatattva suna kahiye tomate.
You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. So, we are going to discuss verse number 105, 6 and 7. 108 onwards,
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to start giving his instruction to Sanatana Goswami.
So, we are going to discuss the portion just before that. So, before we start our discussions, let's offer our prayers to our Vaishnava Acharyas.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So today we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela,
chapter 20, text number 105 to 107. The chapter title,
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the absolute truth. So
this particular set of verses are definitely going to help us to prepare ourselves as a better student, as a better disciple, also
as a better human being. Through these three verses, we have lot many things to contemplate on, which are very important in the journey of Krishna consciousness. Every week, when we say that this is important in Krishna consciousness, this is important in Krishna consciousness, there is nothing that we say that is not important. But when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita from a bona fide source, we need to understand the most important aspect of our association in this movement is that how much we take advantage of this important instruction and apply in our life. The word important is used every time just to help ourselves educate our mind and intelligence. In general, our consciousness is such that we do not want to do things which we don't like. We do not want to do things which may not be useful to me. We do not want to do things which are not important to me. We do not want to do things which, if I don't do it, I will be in trouble. So there are four categories when we want to do certain things. By design, we are not so much inclined for Krishna Katha. Of course, as a spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna, and the soul is Satchit Ananda. But since we came in contact with this materialistic consciousness, we do not want to be Krishna consciousness. We always want to enjoy what is available for our enjoyment. A very famous pastime of Indra became a hog, and Brahma came after the punishment period and welcomed him back, and Indra denied going back to Brahma, citing the reason that he is comfortable and getting all his necessary needs. So our mindset, our situation, our consciousness is more or less like in the state of Brahma, in the state of Indra. Whilst Indra forgot his own position as king of heaven and started to assume that his life with his fellow pigs and the food that he eats from the gutter as the most comfortable life of his existence is the same situation that we spirit souls are in. So when Brahma called him, Indra felt Brahma as some disturbance to his happy life. So Vaishnava Acharyas have a very compassionate heart, and with that very compassionate heart, they are coming forward to help us regain our original life. So just because we are lost in our consciousness, so they had to give us some information by which we can give importance to their message. So as I said, these four categories either I should like or it is useful, because all that I like may not be useful to me. Either I should like them or I should find it useful to me, or it is important for me to do it, or if I don't do it, I will be in trouble. I will not generally do an activity. So, Vaishnava Acharyas have understood our mindset, and understanding that mindset, they are making a necessary arrangement, feeling extreme compassion for us. Because they know, if I don't budge, if I don't give an oral reception, if I don't consider their opinion, I will go back to gutter, start assuming their life as great, and will never ever come out of this. So here, the situation is same. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have very clearly and categorically classified Sanatana Goswami as a self-realized soul, fully cognizant and aware about all the knowledge that is needed for a self-realized person. And Mahaprabhu has very clearly said to Sanatana Goswami that you don't require any of these answers because you are already aware. There is nothing that I am going to tell you new that you are not aware before. You have already possessing Lord Krishna's potency. So you certainly know these things. At the same time, you are such a sadhu that feeling compassionate about others, you are asking these questions, putting yourself in a humble shoes. So when you look at the way the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, the entire conversation has happened, if you sit and contemplate this whole context, we will definitely understand this is meant for us and not for themselves. It was not meant for Sanatana Goswami to go through this ordeal. It was not meant for Rupa Goswami to go through the ordeal. It is not Srila Prabhupada's duty to go through this ordeal. They could have very well had their wonderful time with the Supreme Lord personally without a tinge of fear or concern of materialistic world, because they are beyond them. Just because they are so compassionate, just because they are so broad-minded, just because they are so much accommodative and feeling the same mood that Krishna have for us, we are all getting to hear this Siddhanta. When Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami is presenting this Siddhanta, you see every chapter beginning and ending, Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami begs for mercy, acknowledges the acharyas, without their mercy I couldn't have spoken, and ends the chapter also with the same mood. Now, putting all these facts together, what do we get to realize? We get to realize that all this knowledge are spoken only for awakening our consciousness. So anytime when you hear important class, you know, please note, please be attentive, and all sorts of adjectives about some Vaishnava and their instructions, they are all meant to draw your attention. Suppose if you have not given a background of Sanatana Goswami, suppose if you have not given a background of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just two people are speaking, do you think we would have given attention? No. So we have Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and all the wonderful associates, they understand where we come from. So they have already defined who Mahaprabhu is, who Sanatana Goswami is, And that Mahaprabhu is appreciating Sanatana Goswami, and they both are now going to correspond the topmost subject matter, the most important subject matter, hearing which we can have a hope for reviving our consciousness. So our first and foremost duty is to thank them and be grateful to them. Last week we discussed, and the week before also we discussed, humility and gratefulness are two important components which will eradicate, completely cleanse our obstacle in the journey of Krishna consciousness. So that gratitude is not a one-time agenda. The humility is not a one-time agenda. So in the journey of Krishna consciousness, this gratitude and humility are like two rails we hold when we are walking together, because we are wobbling. A wobbling person need a proper support. So in your spiritual journey, because we have been walking on a different plane, when a person has never seen what an escalator means, never seen what a moving platform means, if he puts his leg, he will wobble. Because a moving platform is the one which will expedite, which will make the journey comfortable, faster, smooth and deterministic. So in that moving platform, if you are stepping it for the first time, and if you are not experienced, if you do not know what you are doing, you definitely need two rails to hold yourself, otherwise you will fall down. That is why bhakti is walking on a razor's edge. If we do not carefully conduct ourselves, it will act in such a way that we will find it difficult to walk in our spiritual path. So here, the context is humility and gratitude with which this entire subject matter is presented, about which the entire subject matter is dealt with, is something very unique. So our today's discussion is going to be preparation for hearing Siddhanta. Because we are going to hear a huge set of advices, instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is directed towards us through Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, with a very kind heart, has become a leader for us, a representative for us, and representing our state of mind, he is just standing in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has already acknowledged Sanatana Goswami as a great self-realized and blessed soul, but still agreed to speak to him in detail so that we all have some hope. So as today, for the next half an hour, 40 minutes, we will all discuss as a preparatory step that which is needed for us to prepare even getting inside Siddhanta. If we are not prepared with this preparation that we are going to speak today, we will only wobble, and nothing, the Siddhanta part, will go in our head, and our heart will become hard like stone. If a person approach Srimad Bhagavatam, if a person approach Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita without proper attitude, without proper guidance, then the same knowledge which will melt a stone heart, the same knowledge which will open up the blind eyes, will actually trap the person and you will become blind and hard-hearted. So Sanatana Goswami now is going to help us. This context, the three verses that we are talking now, is actually a very good preparation when we enter Srimad Bhagavatam, when we enter Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, or when we enter any spiritual realm. So this platform of spirituality can be very easily walked, can be very easily traversed, when we can hold our both the hands in the rails, like a baby, or like an old man, or like an inexperienced person, whichever category we are. The baby category is ignorant. The old man category is a person who did not take advantage of it at this point in time and realized about this opportunity later. And a person who wish to make a progress, inquisitive. For all these three persons, these two rails are going to help. So this journey that we are going to talk now, because the first question he asked, who am I? The second question he asked is that what are three folds of miseries? I am sure everybody in this forum can answer that question. Today, if somebody goes and talks to somebody and says, I'm going to hear a class on I'm not this body, spirit, soul, I'm sure all of us will have immediate feelings saying that, oh, that's a basic class. Please tell something higher, Prabhu. Suppose in the next half an hour, 40 minutes, I give a class saying how I am not this body, spirit, soul, and how as a spirit, soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna, how as part and parcel of Krishna, our duty is to serve Krishna, and in this Kali Yuga, the duty is to serve by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I am sure at the end of the class, you'll say, okay, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the class. We are here sitting eager to hear some new points. But you see what Sri Sanatana Goswami is doing? He is going back to the basics. And his going back to the basics is not from the Siddhanta perspective. He is from the perspective of how do I realize and how do I apply. So my dear devotees, in our discussion today, we need to go back to a drawing table, to a mindset that I am going to apply Krishna consciousness, I am going to prepare myself for application enough of all stories that I have heard so far. Now I am prepared for application. The preparation for application and actual application are two important things, because what we have to aspire, we already aspired. And by the aspiration, what we are supposed to be, you know, reaching to a place, he already reached that place. And what briefing is required has already been, you know, provided. So all those things have already been done. Now the journey of Krishna consciousness needs to actually happen. So the journey has two parts. Part number one is a necessary dress that we need to wear. And part number two is that we actually do the journey. I was in Houston recently, and in one of the morning Bhagavatam class, I mentioned an important point. That this Krishna consciousness is an ocean of bliss. This Krishna consciousness is an ocean of mercy. This Krishna consciousness is ocean of definitely happiness. That which is not materialistic. And eternally, we get this. But to dive in this ocean, you need to have proper dress. We see the ocean from afar. We have heard about the ocean. That agenda is done. So our first few days of Krishna consciousness, we heard about the ocean. Then by regularly hearing about the ocean, we got interest and we came closer to the ocean. Yes, let me go and see the ocean. So we stood in the beach, and we saw the ocean. Wow, it's very nice. What I heard, I am seeing. Now I want to dive. Now I want to sail the ocean. And when I have to sail the ocean, I need to have better preparation. If I want to dive deep into this ocean of bliss, if I want to dive deep into this ocean of mercy, if I want to dive deep into this ocean of mercy and bliss for eternity, then I better have the necessary costume and the necessary training. The necessary costume and the training is what these three verses are. If you see every word in these three verses, you will understand what it means to be Krishna consciousness preparation. I will just read those important verses. Possess Krishna's potency. Inquire. Sake of strictness. Propagation. Gradually. Look at these words that are used, because these are the words which are going to be very importantly contemplated upon in our discussion. Eager, awaken, unflinching, undeviated intelligence, certainly, very soon. Look at these words. Because these are all the words that are not some easy words, there's an English word. These are the words spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. And he says, which means you are going to dive deep into the ocean of bliss, dive deep into the ocean of mercy for eternal time. So let us be prepared. Let's brace our sleeves up. So that is what these three verses are going to be about. Hence, the first and foremost preparation for us is humility and gratefulness, which we spoke about last week itself. So with that as the premises, with that as a prerequisite, because that is not even a dress. Prerequisite is humility and, you know, gratefulness. Because there are three categories of people who are going to sail this. One is a person who is ignorant, newborn. I was not even aware about it, I got to know about it. Somebody who got to know about it but never acted on it and wasted his time. The old guy. And somebody who is inquisitive, curious. So hence, verse number 108 onwards, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to elevate our consciousness from curious to serious. As from a curious devotee, he is going to elevate our consciousness to become a serious devotee. As a curiosity, we already came till the shore of the ocean, but as a serious devotee, we need to dive in the ocean. And to dive in this ocean, there are some do's and there are some don'ts. Prerequisites is done. Humility and gratefulness. Now let us see what is the actual dress that we need to wear. Those who are eager, text number 106, those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness, and who thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence, certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. So this is the core aspect of our dress that we need to wear. Eagerness to awaken spiritual consciousness, first dress. With that eagerness, we need to have faith in the words of the Acharyas, which is Mahaprabhu is going to speak. And with that unflinching faith, we have to have undeviated intelligence. And these three forms an opportunity which we have not received for millions of life in this material world. So with these three, and in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, we are going to dive into the ocean of bliss, into the ocean of happiness, into the ocean of mercy for eternity. So eagerness, unflinching faith, and undeviated intelligence are something that are very important for attaining the desired goal. Mahaprabhu says, this is needed for our practicing in Krishna consciousness. In our last week discussion, in the same Chaitanya Charitamrita class, we discussed about 6 points of self-test. And those 6 points, one of the points I have mentioned is about how to be enthusiastic. Eagerness is a thought, enthusiasm is an effect. Eagerness is a cause, enthusiasm is an effect. If you are eager, your eagerness is revealed by your enthusiasm. So our dress that we wear is our eagerness to awaken spiritual consciousness. We are eager for many, many things. But if you are not eager for awakening spiritual consciousness, then it's srama eva hi kevalam. Indra was eager to spend time with his family, but he was not eager to come along with Brahma. In spite of Brahma explaining him that you are not part of this world, you are part of a different world. So Mahaprabhu is going to open up through Sri Sanatana Goswami all those things that we need to hear for our transformation. And as a part of that transformation, we are going to exit the cycle of birth and death for eternity. So this is the first dress that we wear. Eagerness to awaken spiritual consciousness with unflinching faith and undeviated intelligence. The second aspect that we need to be careful about when we are diving deep into the ocean of bliss, ocean of mercy, and which is for eternity, Mahaprabhu says that this spiritual knowledge is imparted in a very systematic way, and hence be prepared to gradually learn them. When Mahaprabhu used the word gradually, he wished to say that in our spiritual journey, there are things that we need to basically understand before we switch our topic to some esoteric topic. Srila Prabhupada, in text number 108 and 109, which you will be reading tomorrow, is very nicely explaining in the purport that it's very important for us to understand the basics of Krishna consciousness, and this basics of Krishna consciousness helps us in reviving our relationship with Krishna. And this revival of relationship is the primary goal for which we are striving for our spiritual life. So, the gradual process of understanding, unless we realize who Krishna is, unless we realize we are not this body, spirit, soul, unless we realize what is our relationship with Him, we won't be able to appreciate, we won't be able to glorify, we won't be able to relate all those esoteric pastimes about Rasleela, Venu Gita, Krishna doing all sorts of naughty things in Vrindavan, Krishna doing all sorts of wonderful Leela with His gopis. We won't be able to understand properly. Today I happened to attend a wedding. In the wedding place, there was a greetings counter where they had kept a corner where you can go and write your own greetings to the couple. The wedding organizer had made this, a small card saying that wish, please write what you want to wish the Radha and Krishna of today. I felt so bad that, first of all, we do not know who Radha and Krishna is, what their love is, what their stature is, and we are equating them to a normal husband and wife. That is our intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada says, unless we realize who are we, unless we realize who Krishna is, unless we realize what our relationship with Krishna, we will misunderstand Radha and Krishna's love. We will misunderstand what Narada Muni is doing, because these are all some commonly used conversation in our regular context. hey, this guy came and confused, did Narada's job and gone. Even devotees, by jokingly we state this. He came and did a real confusion, did Narada Muni's job and went. Come on. Narada Muni is such a great saint. How can we equate a materialistic thought to Narada Muni? Hey, look at this couple. They are like Radha and Krishna. Which means what? Our basic intelligence is completely lost. We don't have a proper vision. So the reason why these basics are taught and why it is gradually taught is because unless we understand gradually we are not this body, spirit, soul, we won't be able to relate to this higher subject matter. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam deals with 10 subject matter. Atra sargo visargasya sthanam pushanam udaya. So, 10 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, is Krishna personified. Sri Krishna parivartita. Sanatana Goswami is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam as Krishna personified. And first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are like Krishna's lotus feet. So, like that, the entire Vedic literature is about glorifying Krishna and it's very systematically taught. So, the second layer of our dressing is not to rush stuffs in which we don't have qualification to rush to. In other sense, we need to gradually learn the truth from a bona fide source. Hence our mindset should be that when this word gradually comes, it is not only about knowing it, it is also about applying it. It is also about realizing it. It is also about endeavoring to practice what you have heard. In our own sense. And the first step of practice is to contemplate on. No, Krishna is not expecting you to jump into action on day one. Srila Prabhupada did not start ISKCON in 1966. Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON in 1922 when he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. In his heart, he knew that he received his instruction and this is exactly what he needed to do it. He was contemplating on it, he was preparing himself for it, and when right opportune moment came, he just executed it. So the execution in terms of revelation must have happened in 1966. But from 22 to 66, 44 years, what Srila Prabhupada did is what we need to do in our spiritual journey. So this is exactly what Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in Bhagavad Gita clarifies. The Krishna consciousness is a natural and a gradual process, and in terms of growing in Krishna consciousness, we need not rush, but at the same time, we definitely need to be firm and progressive. So the second realization that I want to share, or the second covering, or second layer that we need to put on ourselves before jumping into this, is to be prepared not to be in hurry. We need to maintain good amount of patience. So, Rakshishyati Viswaso. Krishna consciousness is not a magical journey. It's definitely a magical journey in one sense, but at the same time, it's a gradual process. And this gradual process is not time bound. You can become Krishna consciousness in 2 minutes, but still it is gradual. It is attitude bound, it is consciousness bound, it is our determination bound. It is our enthusiasm bound. When somebody is not prepared with our enthusiasm and consciousness and attitude, even if it makes 4 lifetimes, he would have not begun his devotional journey. But if somebody has all of them together, Krishna consciousness is just a cakewalk in few minutes, he's in. So our second point of covering is to make sure that we prepare ourselves to be gradually, systematically, and firmly making a progress, hearing from a bona fide source. Krishna is definitely wanting us to come back to Him, but not amateurishly, not in a half-baked manner. So, text number 107, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, you are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Why? Because Sanatana Goswami is broad-minded. He, in spite of knowing everything, he is once again going to question for our benefit. So he is saying you are fit to propagate.
So therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you them. So Mahaprabhu is going to systematically teach them. Hence, from verse from 108 onwards, it's going to be a very wonderful journey for the, further through this chapter. So this is the second covering for us to dive deep into the ocean of Krishna consciousness. The third covering or the third preparation for us to jump is text 105. The text 105, he says that I want to inquire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. And he further says, although the sadhu knows these things, he inquires for the sake of strictness. What is this for the sake of strictness? So let me talk about first inquire. As a third covering for us to dive deep into this, is about inquiry. We cannot sit in a Bhagavatam class, hear Bhagavatam class, and walk away without questions. You may not ask them due to time restriction. We may not ask them because we may be shy. We may not ask them because we are fearing. But we all should definitely have questions. Because questions, inquiry, is a natural symptom of mode of goodness, and it's also a natural sign of progress. Last week we discussed one of the six items for our self-test in Krishna consciousness is about, do we ever get questions, relevant questions in the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. So this inquiry is that in our journey, we need to keep inquiring, we need to keep finding, we need to keep asking a bona fide source. And the reason Mahaprabhu is explaining is for the sake of strictness. There may be many explanations for this sake of strictness means, but I'll just share what I realized or what I have understood. The sake of strictness, according to my understanding, is the more we inquire, the more we are serious enough in practicing what I want to practice. If you are traveling to a foreign country from India or from any other country, from any other place, we tend to do certain check more than once. We check our boarding pass 3 times. We check our passport 4 times. We check our, you know, we ask the counter, is this the gate number? We keep inquiring because we want to be making sure we don't make mistakes. We want to make sure that we are not trapped somewhere. So whenever there are some things of serious business, we need to be very curious and also asking proper relevant questions, not to make any mistakes, and that too at the right place to the right person. So the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness actually means the more I am inquiring, the more I am consistent from the post of from the journey of, in the journey of Krishna consciousness. If I am not serious enough, if I am not sincere enough, if I am not strict enough, I will also be lax in my curiosity, in my inquiry nature, in my surrender. So Mahaprabhu says, although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness, which means the same instruction is, you know, highlighted, enlightened from different perspectives, and with more insistence that we can practice Krishna consciousness nicely. So inquiry happens to be a third covering. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, We are not expected to be a blind follower. We are expected to follow using our intelligence. Srila Prabhupada does not want us to be a lazy fool. Srila Prabhupada says, I think 2 days before, if you all have this daily calendar of Srila Prabhupada, one of the places it was quoted, Srila Prabhupada did not want us to be a lazy fool. Because by being lazy and also a fool, it is catastrophic for us. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, hence, we need to understand these three are very important covering for us to dive deep into the ocean of bliss, ocean of mercy. Now, there is some covering which we need to remove. And this is very subtly communicated in these three verses. So, I'll just talk about that removal and also some effects of that removal. If you have to dive into the ocean of any ocean, I mean, if I'm going to do an ocean, you know, sea diving, there is something that we are not supposed to carry. If we carry them, you will drown. There is something that we are supposed to carry. If you don't carry them, you will drown. So, we spoke about those three things which we need to wear. And now we are going to speak about that which we are not supposed to wear. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned that you are fit to propagate the cult of Krishna consciousness. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentioned that you are possessing Lord Krishna's potency. These two words, these two things are because Sanatana Goswami is a very compassionate soul and interested in delivering masses. And that means a person's heart which is bereft of envy. So if you want to understand Krishna consciousness nicely, if you want to understand the hardcore Siddhanta, we need to keep cross-checking within ourselves if we are free from envy. If you are not free from envy, you can't be humble, you can't have gratitude, and you can't have any of those covering that we spoke about. Because envy is one quality which is a vehicle pulling ourselves in the opposite direction at the same speed which you wish to run in the forward direction. A person wants to run in a forward direction and he is equipped and he is having the necessary mechanism and he is trying to run, but is not conscious enough to disconnect the other vehicle which is pulling in the opposite direction. So envy is one which will pull us away from all the journey of Krishna consciousness. I will read something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book, in his Prabandhavali, has mentioned some things and I'll just read them. One who is devoid of envy cannot have false pride due to wealth, material beauty, caste, education and material strength. Therefore, he knows himself to be lower than a blade of grass. A non-envious person cannot be dominated by anger and cannot be envious towards others. Therefore, he is more tolerant than a tree. In other words, he is most munificent. Being devoid of all false conception due to caste, education, etc., a non-envious person becomes endowed with all good qualities and thus has no desire for name and fame. Thus he never expects any respect for himself. A non-envious person finds happiness in the happiness of others and is sad
at the miseries of others. Therefore, he gives proper honor to all living beings. Generally, with mercy, he shows respect to all jivas. With proper honor, he respects the brahmanas. He appropriately satisfies those within the cultured education of society who have become somewhat inclined towards Vaishnavism, and he serves the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. This paragraph exactly talks about this context, what in which Sanatana Goswami is in. The frame of mind, his behavior, his context, his personality, his disposition, his mood, his surrender, his purpose. This paragraph, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has classified. In this chapter, since the time Sanatana Goswami left from the jail till this point in time, did this not clarify what is mentioned in this chapter? I mean, this particular paragraph that I just read. Bhaktivinoda Thakur further reads, further states, by his very nature, the person who is without envy, number one, does not make offenses to sadhus. Number two, does not consider demigods to be independent, for his intelligence is absorbed by only in Krishna. And he is just going on saying all the 10 offenses. So this 10, thus naam aparad, this 10 offenses to holy name, is coming from the context where we are supposed to be non-envious. So, the uncovering or the removal of covering for us to dive deep into this ocean of bliss, ocean of mercy, and for an eternal time is that removal of envy. We can have a separate discussion. I'm sure in all your different discussions you all must have discussed about how to get rid of envy. We can also discuss sometime in the future. Or at least we should know that this is an uncover needed for us to make sure that we get rid of this envy as a cover, so that we can dive deep into this ocean of mercy. So to summarize our conversation today, point number one that we spoke about is that this spiritual journey is an ocean of bliss, is an ocean of mercy, and in this ocean we can eternally dive deep into it to get to the lotus feet of Krishna. And this ocean, there are three categories of people who can access them: a person who is new, a person who is very old, and a person who is inquisitive or curious. A person who is new can not jump into this without proper covering, same as old and inquisitive. And hence, for us to dive deep into this ocean of bliss, we need to have proper covering. So the Siddhanta that is going to be presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami is a big ocean of knowledge which is going to give us access to the lotus feet of Krishna. And this knowledge should not be approached with an arrogant and an inappropriate frame of mind. So the prerequisites are very nicely explained. This is not only this place, in various other places this prerequisite is explained. And here, Mahaprabhu has very, in a nutshell, mentioned this to Sanatana Goswami. So, as a prerequisite, we should have had humility and gratefulness to come to this stage. And at this stage, the three layers of covering that we need to add on. So, layer number one is eagerness towards spiritual awakening, unflinching faith, undeviated intelligence. The second layering that we need to add is that we be prepared to have patience and gradually accepting the Krishna consciousness instructions in a way that we can contemplate and apply in our life. And the third that we need to understand and cover ourselves with before diving is about the tendency to be inquiring, because it's meant for us to be very focused and strict in our journey of Krishna consciousness. These inquiries make us much more focused and committed. And as a matter of caution, we need to be careful about the quotient of envy in our heart. So long as this envy is within our heart, we won't be able to dive into it, even though we may have other things. And as I read, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned that a person who is devoid of envy can actually live those set of points that I read, which is actually nothing but an explanation of Trinath api sunichena, saror api saheshruna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Shishi Chaitanya Charita Amrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
It's a very, very inspiring class, Prabhu. If we are serious in Krishna consciousness, I think I should follow all the instructions what you are telling, whole class. It's a lot. I need to listen again and again this lecture, Prabhu, and take by heart. Prabhuji, I have one question about you are telling about Rasa Leela. Sometimes we just in the conference call or any lecture, we sometimes hear the pastime of the Radha Krishna or Gopinis, all these things. So what you recommended, Prabhu? It's Prabhupada also in his lecture, most of his lecture is not in that kind of Rasa Leela pastime or anything. Also, this one he was telling in the lecture. One time I heard he was telling somebody in Vrindavan, they ask Hare Krishna, and some they say Radhe Radhe, and Prabhupada used to reply Hare Krishna, because he used to feel I'm not qualified to tell the name of Radharani. For myself, I feel sometime hearing the pastime of Radha Krishna is completely unqualified, and sometime I may myself offense or feel so sad. What is the thing? So how we take this lecture as when we hear from the senior devotees, they are qualified who speak about Radha Krishna, but for me, I feel I am unqualified to listen. What should our attitude, Prabhu? So that is my question. And other also, I have some questions, Prabhu.
Sure, I'll just first answer this. See, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and deeper aspects of Radha and Krishna are definitely important, great, glorious, divine, unique, topmost. Prabhupada says that it is like a person is having a specific set of disease, and he need to make sure that he take the medicine prescribed for his current disease rather than taking some other medicine which is not yet relevant for him. So in our context to serve the Supreme Lord, in our context to glorify the Supreme Lord, it should not happen that we try to consume something which we can't, handle it. So number one, we need to understand is that Srila Prabhupada explains, even when he was explaining about Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda, he mentions is that it's a very bona fide scripture. But just that it is not yet recommended for all of us, because we have our own primitive nature in our spiritual life. So the response is, any time when we have the situation to hear such pastimes, we need to please develop a humble state of mind and try to pray to Krishna that please allow me to be prepared at the earliest so that I can enjoy them. We are supposed to enjoy. They are not abominable topic. They are great, glorious topic. Just that it's like, you know, when we are studying the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we may be curious to read 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but we need to tell our mind that please finish first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto before you open up directly jumping into the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Similarly, whenever we hear such topics, there's nothing wrong to hear. It's definitely, it's very important for the speaker more than the hearer. Hearing person should definitely hear them. But a person who is hearing very superlative and exalted pastimes of the Supreme Lord, before that he need to prepare himself to understand who am I and what is my relationship with Krishna and how am I supposed to serve the Lord following the footsteps of a spiritual master. So we need, whenever we hear such pastimes which are very superlative in nature, we can definitely develop some enthusiasm and tell ourselves that I need to prepare myself very soon so that I can participate, I can enjoy, I can serve the Supreme Lord, that, you know, one day I will also be able to relish such pastime, narrate such pastimes. Our frame of mind should be to develop eagerness, but not, the eagerness should not be making us to jump into it. The eagerness should be making us to be preparing ourselves to jump into it. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Thank you so much. I never feel in that way. Thank you, Prabhu, for clearing. Maybe other devotee may have questions. If they don't have, I'll have some.
Any other questions or comments?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any
questions? You can ask the next question,
maybe. Okay, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. This is a very common question for everybody, but I also feel when you were giving the lecture. I mean, after hearing so many things, we need to go before you were telling the Siddhanta, before entering a Siddhanta, you are giving all these things. But so many things we hear from the senior devotee. How we take this, Prabhu? Otherwise, it's just we listen, we forgot, or we don't apply. And I need to apply, but it's not going. Means how we supposed to go? We listen lecture lot. Means compared to we apply, we listen lot of lecture, but it's not going in applying processes that fast. Means how we should do that applying part. Also in our life, means seriously,
right,
Prabhu.
Right. So last week, I'm not sure if you were there in the class. Last week I was mentioning about 6 points which are needed to do a self-test, to do a self-test analysis. Test yourself on where do you stand in your devotional life. So the reason I discuss this part is, I'll give an example of how our mindset should be. If you know your self-test, where do you stand, and if you approach the Vedic literature and if you approach a Bhagavatam class, we will be able to take lesson and apply them in our life and go to the next level. For example, if you walk inside a Costco store, if you walk inside a Walmart store, there are so many things that are available in the Walmart store. Everything is attractive. Which one you will buy? Will you buy the entire Walmart? Will you buy the entire Costco? No, you go and buy what you think you are needing. I'm not talking about people who are going to do window shopping and just swipe their credit card just for the sake of shopping. But generally, when you go to a shop, a departmental store or a big outlet, there are plenty of things that are kept over there. All of them are useful, but they are meant for different audience. Vedic literature is like that. There are karma yogis. There are Jnana Yogis, there are Hatha Yogis, there are Ashtanga Yogis, there are Bhakti Yogis. In Bhakti Yogi, there is Kanishta, Uttama, Madhyama, so many layers are there. So first you assess where do you stand. And if you understand where you stand, then you will know whom to go and ask for help. Then when you know whom to go and ask for help, they will know what you are supposed to eat and sleep and, you know, living with. Then with that understanding, please go and approach. Every day you hear so many instructions. Please understand, they are great, glorious. Each hearing makes us more and more purifying. But we also need to, that's the reason Prabhupada always use the word gradually, systematically, gradually, systematically. Nobody is expecting, neither Krishna nor your spiritual master would expect you, you'll jump tomorrow into such things that you will not be able to handle. We are expected to very gradually, systematically, ask to, you know, make a progress. So we cannot buy Costco today. We can only go and buy what we want. But if you keep on doing this, Krishna consciousness, one day you yourself is a Costco. People will come to you to buy some things from you. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So today we are a consumer. Tomorrow you will be a supplier. Sanatana Goswami is a supplier today because Mahaprabhu confirmed he is a person who is possessing Krishna's mercy and he is qualified enough to distribute the cult of Krishna consciousness. He is Costco now. He has all the knowledge. Whomever goes, whatever he wants, he will be able to guide them and provide them and make them progress and, you know, give them the direction. But for us, we are suppliers. So keep the supplier mind. For a supplier mind, one primary requirement is to know what you need. For you to know what you need, that's what we discussed last week. You know, to do a constant test to yourself. How am I? Where am I in my Krishna consciousness? If you don't have that understanding, then we will have a big problem. So that is the reason each and every practicing devotee should more and more introspect on himself, more and more contemplate on himself, more and more put tests to himself rather than being judgmental and trying to find fault in others. That's not what devotion is. Devotion is not about others. Devotion is about you. Others don't make your devotional life. We ourselves, you know, are responsible for our devotional life, come what may. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Thank you so much for coming and giving your association, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anybody else have any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the very, very inspiring class speaking about envy. And I really love the question answers, especially the last question answer. It was very, very nice. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much for giving us your very, very valuable association. Thanks, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a question.
Sure.
Prabhuji, I'm new into Krishna consciousness. It's been 1 year, and I just started standing 16 rounds. I think to self-evaluate ourselves, if I have any household, due to some household problems or due to any material problems, we can, if we have any problems, can we discuss them with any senior devotees so that we can grow in our spiritual journey from Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, I'll give a thumb rule anytime you want to discuss with somebody, okay? This is something which is pretty important for every, because Arjuna, the biggest positive Arjuna did was, he knew whom to open up. Arjuna could have gone to Bhishma Dev. What if Arjuna had said the same thing that he said to Krishna? Instead of telling Krishna, he has gone and told Bhishma Dev if not Bhishma Dev, to Dhritarashtra. Oh, my dear, you know, father, you are like my father because my father has died. Now I am fearing, I am wobbling. You do not know, you know, what I am going through. Let me give up this war field and go to place where I'll be an ascetic. What would have happened? Oh my God! Huh? Dhritarashtra would have had a party that day night. This is exactly what I want, my dear. So it's a very nice question actually, because it's important for all our practicing devotees. I'll put another situation. You go to a doctor, and when you go to a doctor, you're telling your problem to a doctor, and what that doctor starts crying? Oh my God! Oh, you have this problem. You think you'll be staying with the doctor? So, it's very important to know whom to confess.
whom to go and share. In fact, last week we discussed about this part of confessing. So whom to go and confess? So there are three characteristics that we need to see in a person to whom you can go and share. So you have to evaluate, and Shastra allow you to evaluate. Shastra is not expecting you to be a blind follower to anybody and everybody. What is only to be done each and everybody is giving respect. For that you don't need to evaluate. Give respect to everybody invariably. Even if he's a cannibal, you're supposed to respect. So respect is only one thing which we can give to everybody. Envy is only one thing which we need not give to anybody. The rest, everything, we have to be careful. To give respect, you don't need to seek. Just give respect. To be non-envious, just be non-envious. There's no category. Which category should be non-envious? Which category should be envious? Rest, everything need to be properly evaluated. So the three characteristics, three principles to put our trust on someone. Because you are going to share your personal life, better be careful. Number one is character. At least you need to know the person to whom you are speaking is having a character of walking his talk. If he does not walk his talk, be careful. Second principle, along with the character, he need to be competent. What is competence means? He can take care of my problem. A person may walk his talk, but the moment he hears your problem, if he or she starts crying and weeping, then what will happen? So he need to be competent, that he should be more stronger than you to help you. Depends upon the nature of the problem. Competency and character are definitely important, but all the more important is how much compassion that person has. Because he know that I'll become proud. Because the moment you give him respect, give her respect, naturally he feels superior to you. So if he or she becomes proud, if he or she going to become getting a position, then it is going to be detrimental for his or her spiritual life. So how much compassionate that person has in trying to help somebody else in addition to taking care of himself. So this 3C principle needs to be evaluated within your limited intelligence. And with this, if you pray to Krishna to help you, Krishna will direct you to an absolutely right person, not to a wrong person. So along with Bhagavad Gita, whenever you read Bhagavad Gita, one important lesson we need to always remember is Arjuna was perplexed. Arjuna was confused. Arjuna did not know what to do, but Arjuna completely knew two things. Number one, Arjuna knew something is going wrong in him, and Arjuna knew Krishna is the only person who can help. These two were the biggest plus. Because Arjuna, had he assumed, wow, what a thought I had. I am suddenly thinking like a Brahmana. He would have been in deep trouble. So Arjuna did not assume his ideologies as correct. He knew something is wrong. And he also knew to whom I should go and confess. So that's exactly what I was trying to say. That if you know what your problem is, please choose using this 3C principle. Character, competence and compassion. That person, if you pray to Krishna strongly and sincerely that you are interested in serving him, you will not go to a wrong person. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can I follow up on your answer, please?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, okay, supposing you have some confidence that a particular person is, sincere and he is very knowledgeable in the Shastras, but you want help, right? And you see a person that's sincere, he's knowledgeable, mm-hmm. and he walks his talk, mm-hmm. but how can you really, what's the test for understanding the person is competent? You don't want to approach a person and have a trial by error type thing,
Right.
You don't want to be a guinea pig. So how do you know beforehand, before you seek his advice, that this person is the person who can definitely solve my problem.
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Nectar of Devotion, in one place, Rupa Goswami is explaining the process of choosing a spiritual master. In the process of choosing a spiritual master, he is explaining that you are not going to look at somebody and surrender overnight. He is saying, you look at his behavior, you ask some questions, you be with him, you observe him, you see his emotions, you see his, you know, various activities. Then slightly go one step closer, slightly go one step further closer, then you surrender. And he's saying, you can do various tests on your spiritual master, in the sense, not on him, but with you to him. And go on passing that, and then you surrender. The same thing spiritual master can do on you also. So, this, with respect to competency part, in general, we can understand that our problems in generic in nature could be solved by in generally serious devotees. If somebody is walking their talk, and if you are saying that person is compassionate, general competencies, when I say competencies here, may not be about this in terms of the negotiation or counseling skills, but you may have general competency to help. But at the same time, there are some serious problems which needs specialists. And specialists are generally famous, because he is known as a specialist because he has saved many people's situations, and we can seek them. And last but not least, in this entire game, Krishna plays a significant role. Krishna actually from within directs you. You may not believe this, you may believe this true, but I'm saying this is true, that Krishna, if you pray to Krishna sincerely from the core of your heart, and we should be very careful in your prayer. My dear Lord, I sincerely want to serve you and serve my life for your pleasure. I do not know if what I am doing is correct or not. If you feel by doing this I will be coming more closer to you, please let me do it. If you feel by doing this I will be going away from this, even though I may like it, please take it away from me. With this frame of mind, if you pray to Krishna and approach a bona fide source, it is impossible that you will be cheated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes, thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such wonderful answers. Question answer section was so inspiring. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I think we are exhausted with all the questions, so maybe people are...
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have another small question. Prabhu, this sometimes we see the dream means regarding our spiritual master. We should take seriously if we get any instruction or. How much we should take that dream about spiritual things?
Definitely, dream about spiritual things are source of inspiration from Krishna to give you a motivation. But if you act before acting on them, make sure that you cross check with somebody. It's like, suppose if you dream about your spiritual master coming in your dream, and he coming and blessing you. Nice, be happy, go and thank Krishna that you got some motivation and inspiration. But if your spiritual master is saying, please leave your temple and go to some other city, make sure that, if you want to do that or not. Because everything that you dream have to be taken with a proper, understanding. All dreams not necessarily are supporting to your own views. Sometimes it could be other way around also. But if you dream of a spiritual thing which is encouraging, this is an opportunity by which you are given by the Lord to get more encouraged. But if there is something otherwise which is contradicting, then better, at least at this stage of a sadhaka. At a self-realized stage, the situation is different. But as a stage of a sadhaka, we need to understand all those things that are encouraging for our devotional life comes from Krishna to help us. All those things that are contradicting to Krishna consciousness comes from our own mind, so we can ignore them.
Okay, okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, we can end our discussion today and looking forward to see you all next week. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you all so much for your very, very enthusiastic participation.